So a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 15 June 2021 and it's a Tuesday class. So we shall continue with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing. We are at page 269, paragraph 2. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we shall have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. I will off the light, then I will set the alarm as usual. Half an hour of awareness-based meditation, which means we are here to develop the awareness within the silent mind, to realize our true mind, which is also the meditative mind. So this awareness nature within can only arise when thoughts cease to be, when you are completely without thought, means without any verbal chattering. Or verbalization within means not only you are silent, you don't speak, but the inner voice, the chattering, everything must also cease. Then only your silent mind, the true mind, which is your meditative mind, can arise. And this style of meditation, because you are just relaxed, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness, then the final support is trust your nature to do the meditation. So these four supports are very important to support your awareness-based meditation. First is to relax body and mind, completely relax and at ease. Then don't try to do anything. Don't try to know, just silent everything. Silent means no thought, no verbalization, no chattering, nothing, completely quiet. Then maintain awareness, just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish, let it pass. Until that thinking mind or mundane mind slow down and become completely quiet and still. That is how you develop the awareness-based meditation. Those who need to use certain method, technique, and skillful means to train the mind to be aware, you can also use it, no harm. But ultimately, that mind that is aware must be stabilized until it's completely without thought, without movement, without activity, until all sankhara cease. Then only you can realize the state of no thought. No thought is the silent mind, your true mind, the meditative mind, the awareness nature within. That is the one that is beyond thought, beyond mind, that can meditate, can awaken, can insight into phenomena, and can develop the wisdom. So this awareness-based meditation is very important. It's very different from the so-called thought-based meditation. So hopefully with this summary, you can develop the understanding and confidently develop it. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Use it to develop the daily mindfulness, to live life, to go about doing everything you are doing in life, in the midst of life. Because this is the only way to develop heedfulness, You don't have inner peace, inner awareness and mindfulness without the stability of it. You cannot develop the heedfulness. Because to be heedful in the midst of life is to be ever mindful. So after you have stabilized the mindfulness, then it can be continuously mindful throughout the day. That's how you maintain heedfulness. You live a life of heedfulness, means you are always aware, mindful within. You are not heedlessly lost in thought all the time, absent-minded, with all the mental activity, hindrance, fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, doubt, worry. So all these are not conducive for living life, for meditation, or training yourself. So meditation is to develop this awareness within so that we can be heedful in the midst of life, so that you can develop the daily mindfulness, the stability of mind to be aware most of the time. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is namely Noble Eightfold Path. Think about this. The Buddha had to expound the Four Noble Truths three times, means the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, just so that the five ascetic or bhikkhus could understand it. Then during the nearly 50 years that the Buddha gave his teaching, how many different levels of capabilities did he encounter among the multitude of sentient beings? The Buddha had to teach the same Dhamma over and over again to different people with different capabilities, giving this teaching on different levels. Go to the notes. There is a note there. There? This one is not a note.
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Then we move on. He did this again and again, tirelessly, in the hope that all sentient beings could attain understanding. So this shows the great loving kindness and compassion of Lord Buddha. Even as a Samasambuddha, he need to do all this, because this is the work of a fully enlightened being, Samasambuddha. When you arise, when you have this perfection, wisdom, parami, these are the work you have to do. It's just like as a teacher or as a lecturer, you need to teach the children. Some of them are very young, very small. They are very new to life. They hardly understand anything. Then there are, of course, the various type of students. Some are maybe from their environment, their background, family background. They are less exposed. They may not have the understanding of most things. So we need to teach, no matter how weak they are, how unexposed they may be, and how different their character may be. We have to patiently teach them, especially primary school teacher or kindergarten teachers. Sometimes we hear all this story. It's not easy, really, because these kids sometimes they have not really grown up, and some they cannot manage a lot of things on their own. So you have to help to attend to whatever condition that arises. Then everyone is different, different capacity, capability to learn, to understand. So even in the school, in the uni, when we teach, everyone is different. So nowadays, I was told the teaching methods and way or technique is also different from our time. Our time, we still have the old system where we have a teacher or a lecturer who speaks in front of the class with a whiteboard, chalkboard. Or later on, it seems after our time, there were improvements. They use magnetic whiteboard. then they have this pen, no more chalk. Ink pen, the liquid water pen. So all this has changed. Then I was told the IT era is different again. The millennium student is different again. Now, sometimes the lecturer no need to come to the class. They use their video recorded teachings and they teach. Then sometimes it's like what we do, Zoom. We work from home, we teach from home. And we have to evolve, we have to adapt to circumstances, to civilization, to all the conditions that manifest. So to be a teacher is not easy, especially Samasa Buddha. Not necessary. Sometimes you look at the way society is. Even for me, when I wanted to make the decision to come out to share this teaching, I was very, very cautious and I waited for appropriate causes and conditions. Then I set the three conditions for me to come out to share, to teach. And I was lucky because I was ready. My nature was ready. I have the ability to teach and to share. And I can deal with any type of people with any personality or background or capability. Yeah, I have this ability. Because during the early days, I remember, I had one friend. We were together in the early, I think, 80s, at the Brickfield Temple cultivating. Then later on, she also developed a lot of very good ability to meditate. But she, from her past, she did energy field. She has this ability to sit very long and go into jhana, stillness, and all this thing. And her mind is very, very special. So at that time, people are very interested in jhanas and all this thing, and this style, fantastic mind. Because it seems within the first few sitting, she never sat before, she never really meditated before. But the moment she did it, when she can do it, she actually recalled her past and she was able to sit for hours and hours and hours. And in the first few sitting, she managed to enter jhanas. Then not long, she can sit through all the eight jhanas and all those things. So later on, she thought she has the ability to teach. She thought she can actually help people, because after a few years later, listening to the Dhamma discussion and sharing, then she wanted to teach. So she tried. And somehow she encountered a lot of problems. Then he came and see me and discuss with me on a few occasions. He said, Rastio, how do you teach? He said, it's not easy, you know. Then I say, why? Why did you say that? He said, everyone is so different. Then they ask you funny questions. No. Some of the questions is not easy. No. Then I laugh. I say, yeah, that is very normal, very usual, because everyone is so different. So the question that comes from all these people can be very weird and very funny. Then some are serious, some are not serious. Some are more of the scholarly type, intellectual type, theoretical, knowledge-based type. So if you don't have that ability to understand them for what they are and develop the skill to share with them, to train with them, and to observe the causes and conditions behind, if there is no condition, no point. That's why you only share and try to help when there is condition. Without condition, no point. That is the way the Dhamma is. Then when you share, you must have the understanding within. It's not from knowledge. From Dhamma knowledge you share, no use. It becomes theoretical. You cannot apply. Then people cannot benefit. It becomes knowledge-based, thought-based. So all these are the common problems. So not everybody can teach. That's why to really be a true teacher or guide, you yourself need to have the teaching, the Dhamma, the awakening. Like the Buddha spoke under one of the sutta. I remember it's Salaka Sutta. The Buddha mentioned, if you yourself is in a quagmire, you know what is a quagmire? A bit of very soft clay or what? If you are stuck inside there and you cannot come out, how can you rescue somebody who is stuck inside there? It's very obvious, isn't it? So unless you have the understanding and you are able to come out of the quagmire, then only you can help people, explain to people. Let them have the understanding of how they can come out of it. So these are the quality that you need before you can really teach and share. So because of that, I told her, be patient. You have to develop more understanding, otherwise it's not easy. Because later on she knew I was able to share and came up with a lot of transcript book, text, website, everything. And she was really amazed. She said, how come you can handle all this, answer all this question and sharing and the Dhamma? So it's really not easy. That's why for the Buddha's case is even more complicated, more complex. So we'll go back to the sharing part so that you can have better understanding. This lack of understanding among sentient beings is solely due to greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance, and doubt. So these are mainly the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because of delusion, there is also this arrogance and doubt. So they are basically the evil roots that brings about heedlessness among sentient beings. So this lack of understanding among sentient beings is slowly, solely due to the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, where they lack the understanding of what they are, why they are called evil roots. Because when you have them in you, it makes you evil. These are mind states that are very evil. That's why it's called the evil roots. Root of all evil. It brings about negativity of coming. And when you are not able to understand all this, you cannot cultivate, you cannot change yourself, you cannot transform yourself to be a more useful human being. I will read on, eh? Maybe after that you can understand better. Because of this five poison, the three evil results, also called the three poison. So here they expanded to five, so they call it the five poison. Because of the five poison, living beings or sentient beings creates the five turbidity. You know what is turbid? Eh? Lack of clarity, you cannot see properly. Eh? Clouded. Which cause unspeakable suffering, very true, and endless torment, as we experience the cycle of birth and death, or cyclical existence in the sixth realm. So the samsaric process, the birth and death within the samsaric world, is actually very challenging. And without the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, suffering will be there. And this suffering is very, very difficult to endure. Because if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the affliction, the suffering can be endless, leading to endless torment, suffering, misery. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So, this is what samsara is. And I always share with Kanyamitans, if you are not heedful, if you are not serious about life, then you better be careful. Because if you have to come, means you have no choice. Law of karma created the conditioning for you to take rebirth. And every life you come, every existence, you come without this Dhamma understanding, this teaching, you are going to suffer. And that suffering is going to be very, very severe. Then my question is, why must you come? If you have no choice, you better come with the understanding. Otherwise, you are going to become miserable, afflicted, full of sorrow and lamentation, full of suffering. Is that what you want? Is that life? To me, that is not life. The moment I see the danger of all this, I straight away determine deep inside my heart and mind that this is the understanding that I need. And I need this understanding life after life whenever I have to come or I choose to come. Otherwise, I will become miserable. My form and mind will suffer and be afflicted endlessly. So the word they use is endless torment, which is very true. Therefore, although it would still be the same teaching, great magnificent bodhisattvas asked the Buddha to explain it again using different methods so that even more people could progress in their comprehension of the teaching and be able to open up their mind and understand its meaning. Thus, even more suffering sentient beings would be able to rid themselves of their delusion. So he opened up the provisional teachings initially and revealed the true Dhamma according to sentient beings' capabilities. The mind, the Buddha, and sentient beings are no different in their nature. Through the Dhamma he taught, is the same. In order to transform sentient beings of varying habitual natures and desire, for the first 42 years, he was not able to directly expound the true teaching to sentient beings. Instead, he taught by using various analogy and skillful means, hoping he could guide sentient beings of various capabilities to accept and understand the teaching. Therefore, when the Buddha first began to expound the Dhamma, he told everyone about the karmic law of cause and effect, how sentient beings all transmigrate within the six destiny or the three realms. The three realms are the sensual realm, form realm, and the formless realm within the 31 plane of existence. Or Mahayana call it the six destiny, Liu Tao, Lun Hui. This six destiny consists of the human realm, the heavenly realm, the Asura destiny, and the tree. Sorry, these three are the blessed destiny. While the animal realm, the hungry ghost, and the hell realm, they are the three suffering destiny or evil destiny, where those who have committed heavy evil karma will take birth. We already suffer so much as human. If we fall into one of these three evil destiny or woeful destiny, we will face truly unspeakable suffering. Sentient beings fear falling into this evil destiny or woeful state. This is why we seek the path of liberation or enlightenment. We first seek to help ourselves. So the Buddha taught various skillful means in response to those who only wanted to liberate themselves, the small vehicle practitioner, means the sainthood way leading to all the sainthood awakening, first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, and finally Arahantashi, which is the fourth stage of sainthood. So first stage, they correspond to the Sotapanna, the Sotapanna. Then Sakadagami correspond to the second stage of sainthood. And the third stage of sainthood are the Anagamis. So this is the Theravada tradition, the small vehicle practitioner. In this way, he could first develop everyone's faith in the Buddha Dharma first. It's just like in school, in education. We cannot have this understanding that everybody must go to university straight away. So for this to happen, you must produce students from kindergarten, primary school, secondary school, then let them go through the exam. Then only you will have enough people attending university. So if you really want to have formidable good students at the university, to really finish off the higher education or tertiary education, then you really need to prepare the students so that they can develop in stages to really attend university. So Dhamma is the same. Without the Theravada tradition to introduce the basic teaching, the sainthood way, it's not easy to develop the faith, the understanding, to commit yourself to this Bodhisattva cultivation or Bodhisattva way cultivation leading to Samasambuddhahood, because that journey is so much more complicated and it takes so much longer time to realize. And most people, they're not even thinking about it because they don't believe such things are possible. Okay, we move on. However, those seeking only their own liberation, that's why sometimes they call the sainthood way, the Theravada tradition. These are cultivators who strive on with heedfulness to develop self-liberation, their own enlightenment. In the Mahayana tradition, they call it self-cultivation. Means you don't vow to save the limitless living being. You are more concerned with your own salvation, which is nothing wrong. As far as my nature is concerned, you need to actually develop the understanding to liberate your mind, to awaken first, before you can teach people, share your understanding with others. So that is to me a very natural thing. That's why it is mentioned. However, those seeking only their own liberation, they cannot transform their limited personal love into great love, means universal loving kindness or universal compassion. To help everyone make vows to transform others and accept the teaching that by saving others, we save ourselves. The Buddha had to first give the provisional teachings based on sentient beings' capacities. He had to first teach the Dhamma that could penetrate sentient beings' heart and mind. Then after teaching for more than 40 years, when sentient beings' capacity, causes and conditions were mature, or when they are ready, he finally opened up the provisional teachings to reveal the true Dhamma. That's why he taught the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. However, before he expounded the Lotus Sutta, he first taught the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Hu Liang Yi Jing. He did this to help us reflect on ourselves and understand that the Dhamma is really very simple. This simple, because the mind, the Buddha, and sentient beings are no different in their nature. So this is beautiful, explaining why the Buddha taught after his enlightenment underneath Bodhi tree at the age of 35. Then it seems his parinibbana, he passed away at the age of 80. So 80 minus 35 is 45 years of teachings. But the first 42 years, you see, according to Mahayana tradition, he teach the provisional teachings, the initial essential teachings, mainly the sinhood way, to give faith, to give understanding, to prepare them so that later on, towards the end, when he was about to come to pass, he taught the true Dhamma teaching, which is the Bodhisattva way. How to develop that cultivation to perfect yourself to become Sammasambuddha, the fully enlightened one. So this teaching is covered extensively under the Lotus Sutta. In fact, the Sutra for Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, is also part of the higher teaching, the true teaching. But he shared this initially because this is the way to attract people. So without opening up this provisional teaching to reveal the true Dhamma, it's not easy for sentient beings to follow. So this particular sutta, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Wu Liang Yi Jing, is the first teaching within that Fa Hua San Bu Jing. They call it the Threefold Lotus Sutta. That is the original version. So under this Fa Hua San Bu Jing, the first teaching is Wu Liang Yi Jing. And Wu Liang Yi Jing has three chapters. We have gone through the first two. The first one is virtue. Then after virtue, he speak about the teachings, proclamation of teachings. So this proclamation of teaching is actually the second chapter or second series of the Threefold Lotus Sutta. Then finally is the Ten Merits, which we are covering. So these are the provisional teachings for people who wants to go the Bodhisattva way, where this is the expansion of it. The Theravada tradition or the sainthood way, you no need to cover so extensively the understanding and the teaching. You only need to understand enough for you to root out ignorance and gain enlightenment, liberation of mind, to realize Nibbana, the cessation of form and mind. That is enough. That's why to the Buddha, that one is a lot easier. But when he started the Threefold Lotus Sutta towards the end, he taught very different teaching. Even the provisional teaching, this Wuliang Yi Qing, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, is already so profound, so extensive. Then after that, the actual Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing or Lotus Sutta, which is the second series, is even more beautiful. After this, we will go into the Lotus Sutta. That one is very long, very, very long, the Lotus Sutta. I think there are 28 chapters of very long teachings. Luckily, we had the soft copy. I think we should thank Qin Hao Liao. They managed to extract out the soft copy. I think this one is from Master Xian Hua. 1/4, the city of 10,000 Buddhas. They have this. These are the English translation from him. What we call the commentaries. So Master Chen Hua is my refuge teacher. I took refuge with my whole family under him in the year 1986. So that time, I think the condition were there where I recorded everything. That was the time I started, because the message came from Kuan Yin. And later on, I met my other teachers. Of course, Acharyantra. Then a lot of the Thai tradition, meditation teachers and master. And I received the books and all these things. Then later on, I had a few more lay teachers, but they are very different, very good lay teachers. And by the time I think beginning of 1989, I connected and my nature was ready. Then the whole understanding was there. So that 3 years was very strange. 1986 onward, 87, 88, 89. Everything just fall into place. The book come, the guy come, the teacher come, condition arise. Everything fall into place. So maybe it's meant to be. Then the first English translation of the Mahayana Sutta, which is the Surangama Sutta, chapter 1, I remember, the first English translation, also came from Master Xian Hua, my refuge teacher. The way I received it was very strange. And the moment I opened it up and read the book, it was a photostat copy given to me in 1986 when I was still working as a civil engineer in University of Malaya, because this person who gave it to me, it happened to be the copier of Master Xuan Huang, and I didn't know until he told me later on, because he saw me in the office, and from the way I talked to him and interacted with him, and he saw the yellow string on my left hand. At that time, I wear the yellow string to protect others from simply being heedless or say things that could create karmic obstruction to them or karmic negativity to their nature or to them. So I think he knew. That's why immediately after that, maybe about 45 minutes or 1 hour of discussion, then before he left, he told me, "Are you a Buddhist?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How you know?" He said, "I saw your yellow string and the way you speak." I said, "I know." He said, "I will give you a book." So at that time, I thought, must be one of these Dhamma books from the Theravada tradition or whatever. Then the next day, he really brought the book. English translation, the first book, first chapter, Surangama Sutta by Master Xuan Huang. It was a photostat copy, I remember. The moment I opened up that book, I was full of joy. Then I was so surprised. How come this book is so strange? When I read it, I can understand what is written. And like I knew, this is the gem. This is so beautiful. Yeah. Then I start to inquire and find out from him, how can I get more of this book? But that time, I think he just finished the Surangama Sutra sharing in the United States, and they were starting to do the translation on it. That's why that was the first book. Because according to Master Xuan Huang, he said, this Surangama Sutra is very powerful and very important. He said, as long as this Surangama Sutra exists, the Mara cannot create havoc. And he said, the Dhamma ending age will never come. Mo fa si jie will never come. And he said, for the Dhamma ending age to arise, the first sutta that will disappear from our civilization is this Surangama Sutta. But this sutta actually protects cultivator. This sutta teaches the 50 deviant samadhi, the wrong concentration, the wrong samadhi. Very powerful concentration mind state, jhanas and all those things. You can see light, you can do magic, psychic, but all these are deviant samadhi, does not lead to true awakening or insight. So he taught his disciple to protect this sutta. Then later on, even the Surangama mantra, he taught them to chant, to preserve it and all those things. That's why he did a lot of work. And surprisingly, when this book came, my nature actually arise, rejoice. Then not long after that, I heard from one Christian in my office that he is coming to visit Malaysia again. A delegation is coming. That's how everything falls into place. Very strange. Then I determined to go full time to see him, to record all his talk, to listen attentively to what he teach and he said or share. Because when I was in the university, I actually also met him twice before I graduated in the year 1979. But I used to share with you all. At that time, I was still not working. I don't have the means and the condition to make offering and do the thing I want to do. And when I came to know, I determined to make up for the first two occasions, missed opportunity, That's why at that time I did everything. I determined and make effort to find out who I can contact to really approach him and make the offering. So through my wife, she had a classmate or a clique. The brother is a renounced disciple of Master Xuan Hua. And through her, we make the offering. Then I got the schedule of where he gave talk. Every night I was there recording and was listening. Then towards the end, when he said, "Who wants to take refuge?" I straight away, without hesitation, make that determination to take refuge. And my whole family was with me that time. My wife, my two children, we were there. And it was the most beautiful occasion to take refuge under Master Xuan Hua, Master Hua. So there were a lot of conditions and things just happened very strange. That's why that year, I remember 1986 when I had that dream, when Kuan Yin's nature came with a message for my nature to move fast. He said, "Not much time left, you had to move." Everything happened up there. That's why you are a cultivator. The causes and conditions will arise and you will know and you will move. Then everything will fall into place and you will understand causes and conditions very beautifully, very profoundly. So this is the beauty of this teaching. So we will try to get that slide. This slide is very important because it summarizes to us all of the important Mahayana teaching for Bodhisattva way cultivation. The Buddha taught this teaching, the Threefold Lotus Sutta. There are three series. She has got it. See, it's marked there, the Threefold Lotus Sutta. Fa Hua San Bu Jing. So the first series is the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerable Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Within the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, we have three chapters. First chapter is on virtue of great beings, bodhisattvas, and all the Sammasambuddhas Buddhas. Then we have the proclamation of the teaching, the true teaching, the expanded teaching. And this proclamation of the teaching consists of infinite teaching, innumerable teaching. That's why it's called the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Then after that is the special 10 merits, means the 10 perfection and all those things. So under this Sutra of Infinite Meaning, it actually prepares the cultivator who wants to go into this Bodhisattva way to develop the extensive understanding and cultivation. Because this sutra is so wonderful and so beautiful and unique, because of that it is called the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. From zero come one, one comes infinity. So it's from one Dhamma that the infinite Dhamma arise. So everything starts from the void, then the one, after the one, the infinite. From zero come one, one comes infinity. So they are all connected, interrelated. Then after that is the second series of teaching under the Threefold Lotus Sutta. You have the Lotus Sutta itself, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. This is the one that we will continue after we finish off this book, Wu Liang Yi Jing. This Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing is very beautiful. It really teaches you all the provisional teachings of the Buddhas. It will will explain to you how through the skillful being he introduced the teaching, then how later on through the skillful being he prepared them to receive the true Dhamma, the higher teaching. Then in this sutta also, there is a lot of story or prediction that Sakyamuni Buddha make. It seems a lot of his close disciples, it was predicted by him that they will become Samasa Buddha. And there is a lot of this very beautiful teaching inside there. And there are 28 chapters, if I'm not wrong. And these 28 chapters are very beautiful. Like I said, we are very lucky because we had the English translation of this series from Master Shen Hua's monastery. Their translation book. So we will use it as a guide. Then after that, the Buddha's main concern is the real meditation for Bodhisattva to perfect themselves and to move fast. So he introduced the third series of teaching called Meditation Sutra of Samantarabhadra Bodhisattva, means Pu Xian Jing, Pu Xian Bodhisattva's meditation teaching, because Pu Xian is a very unique being. His special name is Universal Virtue Bodhisattva. He is a very special being. We visited the Wei place in China when we were there in the year 2014, I think it's Meishan, where you see the very tall statue in the Jingding summit with the four elephants. So that one is very beautiful. So Pu Xian, Samantarabhadra Bodhisattva. And a lot of Kayamita have affinity with Pu Xian also. Of course, Kuan Yin is the one that we have most affinity with. Then, of course, also all the other great beings. We should cultivate our affinity with all these great beings through our understanding. We pay respect, we invoke power and merits. Then we seek their blessing, protection, and guidance. So if you want to go the Bodhisattva way, you must understand this threefold Lotus Sutta. You must at least go through it, review it, develop the understanding of it. You will go a long way. And this is the next phase. After taking the vow, may you make aspiration to have all those right view, all those things. Then you slowly go into the actual Mahayana teaching that the Buddha Sakyamuni taught. So we have almost covered the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So that itself is so beautiful, so wonderful. Then when we move on to the Lotus Sutra, it will be even more beautiful. Then finally, of course, is the Meditation Sutra of Pu Xian, Samantarabhadra Bodhisattva. So keep this in mind. This is what I want to share. Okay, then we move on. Then we will continue from the sharing. I think I cover a bit more. So we have finished the first adapter verse. Now we are at the next one. Humans need water to survive. Nothing in the world can thrive without water. This is very true, right? Because it seems three-quarters of our planet is covered with water. Then our human body, 80% is water. Furthermore, a stream of pure water can cleanse all defilements in the world. So this is the adapter verse. So I will read a little bit more before we open up for sharing. We cannot survive without water. Water makes up, he said 70% here, of a person's body weight. But when I was studying health science and biology, my teacher told me 80%. I don't know, maybe there is a slight discrepancy. It is an essential part of our internal body, bodily formation. They use internal organs, bone, veins, muscle, and skin. Actually, it's a lot more. This is especially apparent in our blood, which is constantly flowing through our arteries, veins, and capillaries. So blood is mainly water-based, liquid-based. Then our sweat, our urine, they also carry water. Then all the cells, they are also having water, even our brain and all those things. In order to maintain our bodily function, we need our blood to carry nutrients or oxygen to our body at all times, because we have to nourish the organs. Everything in the world needs water to sustain its life. There are countless other planets in the universe, but we have not yet discovered life on any of them. That is because they lack liquid water. This demonstrates how important water is for humans and all things. Water is one of the four elements that makes up everything in the world. We have the earth element, water element, fire and wind element. When the four elements are imbalanced, when the four elements are balanced, they put in the word imbalance. It should be balanced, everything is tranquil and peaceful. When they fall out of balance, disaster occur. So that word IN should be taken out. An old saying goes, water can float a boat, but can also capsize a boat. So it depends on how you look at it. Water is important for life, for survival and all those things. But water has its own, what we call, function, properties. One of its major abilities is buoyancy. And the physics behind buoyancy is also very beautiful. Archimedes principle, you all know. The apparent loss in weight means the buoyancy force, the upthrust that you experience when you are in the water. You submerge something into the water. It seems it's the weight of the water displaced. That's why that unique feature gives rise to physics principle, Archimedes principle. He was having his bath. Then when he saw the water overflow, when he emerged into the bathtub, suddenly the thing clicked and he got the answer. Because he was asked by the king, how can the king make sure that the goldsmith and the person who actually fabricated his crown, the golden crown, didn't cheat on him? So Archimedes has a great task ahead. So finally, after the excitement at the bathtub, it seems he screamed, "Eureka! Eureka!" Means, "I have found it! I have found it!" He ran out of the bathroom naked because he was so excited. So that's how Archimedes' principle come about. So he submerged the crown into a pool of water, and whatever that overflow out, he measured them. Then he can check the density of that cold crown to confirm whether it's pure solid gold or not. That's how he was able to fulfill the task. And he became so famous that they call this principle the Archimedes principle. The earth element, oh sorry, I didn't explain this part yet. Water can float a boat, but it can also capsize a boat. So it depends on how you make use of it. It's just like our form and mind. It's a vehicle and a tool for us to use. If we use it wisely, it becomes beautiful, useful, appropriate. But if you use it wrongly, like if you don't make sure you have a good design for the boat, it may capsize. Or if your boat leak, it may submerge. Then if the wind is too strong, the weather is very severe, it can also submerge and capsize. So all these are the conditions behind. When you understand, with the understanding, you can actually help what you call help yourself to actually go through life with understanding to overcome all this. Manual, the word is manual. You can manual yourself to avoid all the possibility of disaster and all this thing. The elements that make up the earth are the same as those that make up our body, the four elements. Again, they say 70% of earth is covered by vast ocean. I remember is it 70 or 80? Anyway, it's around there, 70 to 80. Or maybe 75. The planet one, I think, is 75. Or 71. Yeah. Google. My daughter Google. Correct. For the planet, is 71. Yeah, 71 to 75, about there. So, but the human body, I remember, is 80. Anyway, not important. If the elements of water is out of balance, especially in conjunction with the element of air or wind, there will be great storm and huge wave. Ships on the sea will be tossed about and may even capsize, putting people's lives in great danger. We often hear about typhoon, hurricanes, tornado that can destroy many homes in an instant. There are also earthquakes, which are caused by build-up energy from the thermal convention of our planet Earth. The more energy that is accumulated, the more frequent earthquake will occur. This can be described as an imbalance of the elements of earth and fire. So we stop here.
Right.
Yeah. So long time haven't seen you, Chive, yeah? Sadio to you.
Yes, brother Tio.
Yeah.
It's so good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear your Dawa guidance. It's very good.
Yeah.
I was listening to your previous recording.
Oh, that's very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah. Nowadays, the sharing are so much more meaningful and more deep, and so more interesting. A lot of people find the sharing or the Q&A and the reporting very interesting.
Yes.
So how have you been getting on, you and your wife?
We are good. Peng had double knee surgery, you know that?
Yeah, I know. Earlier you told us. Then she recovered very well after that.
She's recovered well enough.
Yeah.
So she's staying in the apartment, whereas now that she's well enough, I've come back to my son Shan's place.
So
I got more quiet and peace down here.
Sadhu. very good. Yeah, that is what you need.
yes. That's true, that's very true. Especially at my age.
yeah You need more quiet environment to really meditate, to realize a lot of very profound things. You need a tranquil setting. So how is your son getting on?
He's okay. He's paralyzed waist now, but he's doing whatever he can.
Yeah, he is active. He's able to actually gain back his life. That is more important, Sadhu.
But he still can't do the procedure yet because he needs a wheelchair
that can
enable him to stand up.
That one is normal because the extent of injury at that time was actually not easy to handle.
Yeah, I think he severed his
very
spinal
severe.
Cord.
At that time, based on what you told us, that one, because the serving thing is not easy to actually endure. The accident was very severe. But luckily, the operation, everything pulled through very beautifully. That time you were still in Thailand, I remember.
Well, I suppose that karma caught up with him.
He need to face these causes and conditions. No problem.
But he's taking it very positively.
That's very important.
So
you also have a lot of good understanding at that time, where you were very calm. And you can take it very well. Then you do what you had to do as a father, which was very beautiful. Even though you were not available in Australia or Perth to see the situation, but you actually contacted us, contacted the monks and the people in the monastery. Then I think they send their blessings, their prayer wish and all those things. And those energy, radiation, and mind state of cultivator does have its
existence. I think I couldn't have done much for him back in Perth. So it was very good that all the Kalyamitas and the teachers and monks sent him a lot of merits, was very good.
And POV.
Thank you very much too, and to all the Kalyamitas. It was quite serious, unfortunately. You know, with all the good energies, his surgery was done well.
Oh, Sadhu. Is there anything you want to share or any question you have, Chive?
Not really, because I'm finding your talks quite comprehensive and very in depth. And I'm still learning. So, of course, your talk about the silent mind, I think it's very important. Because
to realize the true mind within.
There's a tendency is to think. It's a habitual tendency.
Just like sankara activity arise from there very fast. From the nature it arise. Because we have a human form. We have the senses. We have a brain. Then the consciousness trapped inside. Then from there, the five aggregate of form and mind keep on stirring, arising, and creating all this movement, the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then the content of consciousness through our views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, goes in and intervene and interfere with all the things that we do. That's how karma is being created. So without mindfulness, without awareness, without that nature within, to observe, to see all this, to understand, we cannot understand the form of mind. We cannot really understand who are we, what are we, then
right.
there is no way to deal with life.
Yes, yes.
That's why we need to have that silent mind, the awareness within, to be ever mindful.
Yes.
To be completely silent, to observe, to awaken, to understand. That is what meditation is. It's not the thought. The thought cannot meditate. The thought cannot understand. Thought is egoic, give rise to knowledge. Thought cannot see beyond itself. That's why you cannot realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind.
Right. Yes, yes. In fact, just now, Brother Teo, whilst I was listening to your, I think the talk maybe last week or something like that, it was extremely good because I think it's the way you teach, I was able to stay to have a silent mind longer than ever before.
Sadhu to you. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah, when you understand, you can experience that. You look at Poteng tonight, supposed to share that. She did the religious routine. Then after that, she went for her sitting. And she was so surprised. Immediately, she went into that stillness, the tranquility, the silence, without any thought at all, without any sankhara activity or movement at all.
Right.
So that is deep tranquility, stillness. That is the true mind, the true nature, awareness without any movement. So that is the cultivator's ability to develop that understanding. Well, if you cannot realize that true mind, that awareness nature within, you can never understand what that nature is. And when you can never understand what that nature is, you can never understand life, because from there everything arises. And that nature is the unborn, uncreated, the unconditioned. But that nature has clarity. It's just aware.
Yeah.
It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But it's connected to the form of mind. It can allow the form of mind to awaken, to observe, to see without words, without concept, without the brain conditioning, the views, opinion coming in. It's like it can see things as they are, without words, without concept. Just that real awareness, that perception. Then the movement that arises from there, the activity of the five aggregate of form and mind, the mundane mind, will allow that silent mind to understand how they become conditioned into negativity, how the roots go in, how it conditions attachment, grasping, clinging, and the result is suffering, misery, how fear arises, how the mental hindrance arise, where they lack the spiritual faculty. So through all this silent observation, you come to understand the Buddha Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. Then you will know what evil roots are. You know what constitutes evil. Then you can avoid evil through that mindfulness, the awareness. Then you develop the understanding to straighten your view, develop yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And all this will prompt you when you encounter something in life, in the midst of life and existence. So when you go through life, your senses, our six senses, are very active and they move so fast. If you are not mindful, you don't have the stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness, you cannot understand, you cannot see, you cannot cope with life, you cannot handle life.
Right.
That's why to do that, you have to be heedful, mindful, ever mindful, so that the thinking is not there. Most of the time, you are just aware. You only arise the thought when you need to use them. So this is the real understanding of the teaching. And when you understand this, you will know how to meditate. That's why you need to stabilize the awareness nature in order to see, to observe. And when you are with that nature without thought, there is space between thought.
Yes.
That's how the silence arises. That's how that nature, which is sensitive, with clarity and observe, because it's not lost in thought. It's not preoccupied with the thinking, the emotion, the reaction, the stirring, the habitual tendency. No more. You know, all those things cannot exist within the true mind. True mind has no thinking process, no sankhara, no mind state. That's why that true mind is the unconditioned. And that is the one that is peaceful, silent, still, tranquil. That is our true nature. That's why when you know that there is an unborn true nature within, then the form and mind, you know, is not the real one. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, karmically conditioned out for us to come to this existential world to use. So use it. Do not be deceived by it. Do not deludedly grasp, cling, and attach. That's how we feel our mind.
But unfortunately, we are so habitual in thinking.
That is true. That is really true. Yeah. So cultivators' problem is because they think a lot. Most of the time, they are lost in thought. They are with the mundane thinking mind. Sankhara activity is very, very strong. It's still very, very latent. That's why the Buddha call it latent tendency, habitual tendency. Then they erupt as very strong defilement. The Buddha call it asava. Kilesa, asava, anusaya. So all these are the common Pali term that the Buddha used. So in the Sabda Asava Sutta that I mentioned earlier on, all these are mentioned in his Sabda Asava Sutta, in his teaching. So these are very beautiful teachings. So when you understand, you can link it to life. You can link it to our daily activity. That's why life itself is the teaching. Life itself is the training ground. That's why to be a real cultivator or bodhisattva, you have to be among life, among sentient beings, among nature, among everything that exists. Without that, you cannot have the understanding, the exposure. It has to be very elaborate, very complete, so that you can have the all-knowing understanding. To understand the nature's law, especially cause and effect, condition arising phenomena, is not easy. Even the law of karma, you really need a lot of understanding and wisdom and perfection to really understand them. Sadhu, that's very beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Because basically, our thinking mind is such, in theory, we sort of got an idea, but in practice, it's difficult.
Correct. Not easy. Unless your silence is there, very stable. Then it becomes the other way. It's like heedful living against heedless living. The heedless think a lot. Has a lot of mental hindrance. Don't have right view. Don't understand. Avijja paccaya sankhara very strong. That's why they think a lot. The first two link. Because of self-delusion. They attend. They grasp. They give meaning to everything. So this is heedless living. They are constantly lost in thought. They are not mindful. They are not in the moment. Their mind is not quiet. They are not tranquil. They are not having the stillness of mind, the silent mind within, because they are heedless. Whereas a person who has trained his mind is heedful, aware, fully aware. That's why the Buddha says, constantly aware. Or ever mindful, constantly meditating. That is what heedfulness is all about. So when you are in that phase, when you have transformed through the Dhamma cultivation and the understanding, you become heedful. Then you realize you cannot do all those things that deluded Putujana do. You cannot go and think a lot, lost in thought, get yourself entangled, become emotional, fearful, all those mindset cannot happen anymore. You can ask Poteng and quite a lot of Kaimita, they experience it. They know what this thing is. That this is suffering. You can feel it, not sensitive. Yeah, you are mind, you are aware. Then the mind that want to stir and condition this, your mind is so sensitive. It cannot allow it to arrive because, like the Buddha said, this is stress to the cultivator. Yes. It's so obvious. The slightest movement behind is stressful. Mm. That's why you cannot become emotional or unhappy anymore.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
That thinking mind that stir and react is no more an issue or problem to the cultivator who have to understand, because their mind is so sensitive. That's why I can't. When certain things already happen, it cannot go and think that way and become affected by it. Because no point. Like the Buddha said, Sankara anicang, Sankara dukkang, Dhamma anatta. No reality. Like the Diamond Sutra say, each year you wait for, you know Mandarin, isn't it?
Very little, forgotten already.
Oh, okay. I thought you were Mandarin educated. Never mind. Each year you wait for means everything within the existential world is conditioned. We live in a world of conditioned arising phenomena. That's like each year you wait for. So you wait for means it's a conditioned world. So within the conditioned world, everything has the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. That's why he says, Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yi, means they are dreamlike, illusion, and bubble, and a shadow, no reality.
Right.
Then they doesn't last. Lu Lu Yi Lu Tian, they are just like a morning dew and a lightning flash. Very fast they come to pass.
Right.
You should contemplate it such that it will not affect you at all. Because if everything is conditioned Dhamma, dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena, he no you, he no me, no reality, the universal characteristics are impermanent, leading to suffering when you attach and cling, is very clear. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's non-self, it's empty. No reality. That's how you free your mind, completely free. Then you realize trying to be right doesn't serve any purpose, no meaning.
Right.
Then you don't want to argue, you don't want to be right, because no point. Form a mind against the form a mind. Why must you get yourself confused, entangled, and all those things? Mm. That's why that Dhamma is so beautiful that it will be whole. That is the Yoniso Manasikara. It will arise. Then you will know. Then you cannot become like before. That's what I want to explain. So initially, what you said is very true. The mundane mind is not easy to train, not easy to develop the understanding. But as you meditate, silence your mind more and more, and as you transform and become more and more heedful, less and less heedless, then the opposite happens. Then you realize you cannot go back to the old way, because the old way is stupidity.
A lot of suffering.
Illusion. Then you see it so clearly. Then you cannot do it anymore. It's just like the precept. You will never, never break the precept. There is not one part where you see the truth of it, the nature's law that governs life. Like you will never do that. Then you know if they are evil roots, evil condition, evil mental activity, that evil condition, negativity of karma, my life, I hold the key to my own life destiny.
Right.
So I want to become that way. My coming will fall. That's what you will never do. You will follow the advice of the Buddha and cultivate in accordance and become very beautiful.
Right.
So very good, sadhu to you.
Yes, sadhu to you, brother. I mean, we have a lot of teachers. Yeah. But still our monkey mind is,
Yeah, you need to train slowly, slowly, stabilize
but,
it.
I think you have done a wonderful, guidance.
Yeah.
Quite a few of your disciples or students have progressed.
Yeah, they have progressed very well.
Yeah, sadhu to you, Brother Tio.
Some even surprised me because they're just very simple people who don't have much understanding, and yet they can understand and really do it. And when they do it's because of the faith, the sincerity, and they listen attentively and just follow that pure instruction. Then they realize what that thing is, because all this arise from the silent mind, the silent nature.
Yes. Okay. So thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks so much. Sadhu. We go back to Pocheng. Pocheng, are you still okay? Your mic?
Hello.
Now it's good. Yes. Now it's so
much.
Radio,
Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas, and to Brother Chiwei. Nice to hear from you. The last time we talked was like in 2017, the first Cameron
retreat.
Brother Chiwei was sitting next to me. And he had a very good conversation, you know, he was sharing a lot of stories with
me.
So much joy listening to his experiences. So much.
He is my super senior in the University of Malaya. he is the pioneer batch.
I see. So, coming back to my meditation sharing.
You're sharing.
Actually, so what happened was just like what I said, I was doing my religious routine, and after which I did my bodhisattva vow. So, and then followed by a very short metta meditation. And then immediately after that, I had my sitting meditation. It was so relaxed and so completely still. Brother Teo, this one is very special because there's no meditation object that I use at all. I straight away went into the stillness,
Yes. Do you know why you can do it or not? I will explain after. You continue.
So I went immediately into this stillness, and then it was just no movement, and it's just silent, and in this true mind, it's just aware, and it seems like towards the end, it's somehow like I knew I have to come out from it, because the mind is like so still, and then becomes, I don't know whether this is my how do you say that? I don't know. This is the feeling or what, but the mind is just very empty, and then nothing inside, and it's so light and so light. It keeps like
You want to like sink into stillness, then it will cease. If you allow it to be, it will cease. You will experience the cessation of form and mind. And
it just
is what Nibbana is all about. That's why you have to completely relax, aware, maintain that thing. For your case, you don't have to maintain really, because you have stabilized it to be very stable. And you can do it anytime, because you don't need an object of meditation. You don't need to hold that mind, because that mind has entered the key. That nature has stabilized. You are most of the time with that awareness nature. That's why you can straight away relax, silent, talk, you are going. That is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Ever since 1989 until now, my meditation, I don't have to actually do. Yes, my mundane mind collapses, and I am in that state all the time. That's why the nature shine for. What is there to meditate? It's just that nature aware. fully aware throughout the day, in and out. So this is something that people never experienced before, never had the chance to understand. And this is what meditation is all about, awareness phase. Because for your case, your spiritual faculties has stabilized and become very stable. Then you are able to develop that mind that has the ability to enter sati and is with the awareness nature most of the time, because you did the daily mindfulness, you did your routine, you have very strong faith, sadha, virya, then your sati stabilized. Then you are able to meditate using the four support, the trust. That one actually transforms you, stabilize you, because that trust, that pure energy that goes in will transform you and make your sati, or what we call the awareness, silent mind nature, very stable. That's why with that, later on, whenever you want to meditate, you just relax, silent, it goes in already. Then even after you have a very busy day, or I should say activity involved with mundane thing and other thing, no problem. After that, when you come out back, if you want to relax, silent and meditate, it will settle down very fast, sometimes within 1 or 2 minutes, maximum 3 or 4 minutes, not more than 5 minutes. It will definitely become very still. And you will understand after that what that silent mind is, because you have been with it so often. You have stabilized it. And when you understand what that thing is, then you can understand all the Dhamma. How from there it moves, it stirs, it creates thinking, sankhara activity. Then you see clearly how the acting from memory, the habitual tendency, the mundane conditioning, the views or opinion, and all those whatever belief system, they will still try to come and initially, because it's habitual develop over time, they will still try to come and play trick on you. But because of your wisdom, your understanding, and your clarity, you realize they cannot arise anymore. All this habitual tendency, they cannot arise anymore. Then your mind is very quiet. It's like for you to use. You want to completely silent, maintain the awareness within and relax and go to sleep, you just do that. You want to use it to live life, to understand, reflect, contemplate, inquire, you use that. You throw out the inquiry, then the answer will come. The creative thinking, the creative understanding will arise. Then you use it to live life, to experience life to the fullest. You can realize the pristine wonder and beauty of life. Means you can be with the moment, silent, completely silent, to experience and to realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life, of every phenomenon, everything you come to perceive, see, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel, or even arising of thought. Everything is like slow motion, so beautiful. You can be at the moment of perception, pure perception. The brain doesn't come in. The views, opinion doesn't come in, but the Dhamma is there. That's why you will act according to Dhamma, the Dhamma way. This is acting according to wisdom. You act following the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way. So you no longer act according to memory, conditioning, views and opinion. That's how the enlightened being transform themselves to become different. So for you, you are going through those phases. You are slowly, slowly understanding all these things. So very good, very beautiful, sadhu to you. And you can experience all this and let it stabilize and continue to develop the faith and do more. Do not be complacent. Continue with your routine. Then you will become very beautiful. Okay, Pajay, can follow.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, Bratio. Yeah, Bratio, it was Actually, very interestingly, when I come up from the meditation.
Yeah, right? You will know, because this is pachitang. The Dhamma is pachitang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And no need to ask people to confirm or what. That's why there is joy. Oh, yes. It's very exciting, yes. Like the way you describe it. That's why you were so happy to share.
Yes.
And tell me that you want to share this tonight. So sadhu. Yeah, you
can. The funny thing is, when you come from the meditation, right, your mind is still blank. You know, nothing.
Yeah, inside. Nothing inside there.
When you look,
the wisdom make it like that. Then later on, you will have the understanding. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. No difference. Everything is not what it is. The reality is, each here you wave are empty, no reality. Then why think? Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then what happened? The mind realizes itself through that wisdom will cease. That's how you can realize Nibbana. That's why you allow it to continue to happen, like it's sinking into a state where, because you already experienced the no mind. No sankhara, nothing. But the pure awareness nature is still there. As long as the pure awareness is still there, it's not cessation yet. It's not nibbana yet. But that pure awareness will also cease. And when that one ceases, a lot of things will happen. And you will come to know. Even a glimpse of it is enough. You will come to understand many things. But if you can see the whole thing go through for a while, then how that cessation went in, then how it come up, that is the most important. Then you will know clearly how you function as a human being, how your brain operate, how it trigger off the brain activity, then how it cease. Yeah. Well, when that thing cease, your pure awareness, everything cease. It's like you are dead. You don't have consciousness inside there, but you are not dead. Because that Nibbana energy, the pure energy is there. And everything is still, no heartbeat, nothing. That is the real cessation. That's why people cannot understand. People talk about it, but very few really can have the understanding of what this is. So, sadhu to you, Puchay. Hopefully, not long, you can go through all this and develop the understanding.
Actually, Bertio, this is just cessation of my form and mind, right? Actually happened to me in January already. My heartbeat actually go off first, and then after that, the pure awareness just vanish,
yeah,
right? Disappear
cease.
Into the through the heart, you know, through the heart.
Correct, and then after that,
it just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It is like nothing at all.
Yes,
no,
nothing.
No mind, nothing. You cannot talk about it. That's right.
Yeah, you cannot. That part really cannot talk about it.
It's the unconditioned. You cannot describe. It's beyond words.
Correct.
So and you then, cannot talk about it. That's why that thing is the unconditioned. Completely cease. Even awareness also not there. How to talk about it?
Exactly.
That's why that cessation is very deep. But when it comes, initially, you may not have much understanding of what that thing is. Well, there is a lot of things happening to the brain area also. Well, that brain also will transform. In fact, the brain, the whole consciousness also will stop. The like a dynamo I used to describe, that brain, where the consciousness there is very busy on. It's very like alive. That's why thought is respond to memory. Very fast the mundane mind come out. But when that one also sees, then a different thing. Then later on, how that consciousness come out again, you will understand.
Yes. That part is very interesting, right?
Very
that
interesting.
That part, I was able to catch it when it comes in again. You know,
if it
go away, I aware of that. And then when you come back, that I'm also aware of it.
Very good, sadhu. Then it will be very clear to you. Then later on, you will understand a lot of things. Then people say, die already, what? You can tell them to go and forget about it. That is not the understanding. The understanding is nothing die. That unconditioned nibbanic cessation, only enlightened being can go through. That's why this is called parinibbana. You went into parinibbana. But parinibbana means you don't come back. The five aggregate no more. That's why they call it parinibbana. Means after nibbana, you cease. Completely cease. But because of the bodhisattva vow, you can still come back. No problem. And the understanding. But the normal cessation of arahant and bodhisattvas and even the Buddha, you can go into the cessation, and because the five aggregate, they call it the remainder of the five aggregate, the karmic force is still there. It's not time to parinibbana yet. That's why it can come back. It can come back. And when it come back, you will understand a lot of things. So this realization of nibbana, even a glimpse of it, is enough to make you a saint, sainthood, a sotapan, a sakadagami, or an anagami, and an arahant. So the glimpse already so powerful, but you can go into cessation for a longer period, the stability. You cannot decide when to come out. The nature decides. Then when it come out, it will come out on its own. Then you will see, you will understand a lot of these beautiful happenings. So sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Yes, gratitude. Exactly right. When the pure awareness return, right, you cannot, actually all these things process, you don't decide, you're just an observer, you're just aware of what is happening.
Because the awareness nature that is aware will also cease. After it ceases, no more thing to talk about. That's why you cannot talk. You cannot describe. It's the unconditioned. How to talk?
Yes,
that's why
correct.
People don't understand. People tend to be very excited. Oh, nibbana, how? When you enter nibbana, when you realize enlightenment, you become very special. Can you levitate? Can you do this? All these are psychic. It's not the real one. The real one is there is nothing to talk about. It's just that realization. The mind realizes itself and sees. And when it sees, means the whole five aggregate of form and mind, including the pure consciousness or pure awareness, also sees. That's what nibbana is about, cessation of form and mind. No more becoming. That's why the deathless, you don't die anymore.
Very good. Very good. Exactly. Yes. Only you can understand what I tell you.
Because very few people can go through. Even what you realize, very few people can do it. Because you need to go through the awareness space, meditation, the silent mind, the awareness within, the sati, stabilize it. Otherwise, you cannot. You cannot realize all this. And the Dhamma has to arise. And the wisdom has to be very stable. Otherwise, it cannot cease. The pure awareness cannot cease. But the mind that want to know or try to know cannot bring about cessation. That's why one thing to be an arahant, one thing the mind to cease, one thing to realize arahantship or cessation, nibbana. All this is a craving. All this prevents cessation. Cessation can only arise when the mind is completely free. A free mind in stillness, in tranquility, without thought, with the wisdom full inside. Understanding that everything is not what it is. Means you have all the understanding. That's why it doesn't have to think. It doesn't have to arise. Think also like that, don't think. I remember towards the end, before my mundane mind collapsed, my form and mind doesn't want to arise, because even the very moment of consciousness itself is suffering, that fine suffering I can feel. The moment of thinking, activity, perception is suffering. That sensation that arises at the moment of contact leading to feeling, that itself is suffering. But that very fine suffering, you can feel it. And you become so sensitive that you will come to know. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. That if you want to suffer, you go and think. You go and do all these things. You go and remember things. Then that phase will also come to pass. Then after it come to pass, when the mundane mind collapse, everything return to normal again. Then you can live life again. You can do your work again. You can interact with society again, with people, with whatever that requires relationship. You can go back to normal. That is the final understanding. The third C, Kan San Yu Si San. You go back to normalcy. Because both duality also, mundane seeing and the supramundane seeing, you understand, you have transcended them. So to you, it's no more a problem. That's why you can go back to normalcy. And to go back to normalcy, take a while. Not easy. Take a while. And remember that one took me a while. Took me a while to develop the understanding. Then later on, I realized I can go back to normal. Then I can become normal again. That's why I can joke, I can do whatever that normal people do. But inside, deep inside, is no longer like before. I can joke, share things, or say whatever. Sometimes you think I like have this joy and whatever. But inside, no movement at all. It's stillness. That nature is still silent, meaning all the time. That's why in the midst of activity, there is stillness. In the midst of vibration or sound or what, there is tranquility. So all this is very beautiful. Only the beings that has liberated their mind, developed the wisdom and the understanding can understand. That's why the Buddha said this Dhamma is Pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And not for anybody else. Okay? So I'll do it to you. Anything else?
Yes, Brad, too. So actually, the thing that I need to adjust is when I came out from it is like when there's no mind, right? How do I was just sitting there, you know, sitting
you
there.
You will understand
like,
by yourself, huh? Because how the sense. How the sense data come in, you will see it one. Then how your brain activate, come back, you will see it one. Then how the consciousness that come back, how they split into the three area of consciousness and move, you will see it. You will see it.
Yeah, it was blank. It was just blank for
me. Yeah, initially it's like blank, then you immediately come out, we are not stable. Not stable. After a while, it will stabilize. Then when it stabilizes, when it come out, it become very clear to you. It will show it to you one. That nature will show it to you. Then you will know clearly and exactly what this form and mind is all about. What this nature is all about. This nature is very unique, very powerful. But
yes,
it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life, but it has this ability to understand all this. It can witness all this. It can observe all this. The transformation. Then
it can witness what I see. I connected to the form and mind, like what you said, which is very true. Because when I do something right, the mind is not thinking, but I know what it is. You know? And then when I... The thing that I did, right, I watched a TV, and it was something that I never watched, the surfing, right, wave surfing, you know, people wave surfing, which I see, right, so when I watched it, I was so surprised that it was in slow motion that I can see
because of your sati, everything like is following your awareness.
Correct.
How fast that thing is, your awareness is there. That's why I told you before, last time, the whole TV, the whole of the color and all the movement, everything, even the sound, the vibration. Yeah, I want to know, I can know. I don't want to know, I just silent. then that movement, the activity follow my awareness. Everything
correct.
It do, it move, is the awareness is there. That's why the Buddha say, mindful internally, mindful externally. So this one is what they call specific phenomenal awareness.
Correct.
And spacious awareness without a center. And you will start to understand all this. This is your awareness nature working, moving. That's why you become different.
Yes,
your
very different.
Your thought is not there at all. Then you will realize everything like slow down for you to see, but it's not slow down. It's the normal pace. That's why the TV
correct,
is very
correct.
Fast. Pixel, the
exactly.
color, everything, the sound, everything, even your sixth sense. But because of your awareness nature, you are able to follow. That's why
correct.
No more problem. No matter how fast that awareness is, it will understand.
Yes. Correct. It was
it's
very fast.
With everything.
Mm. Yes, correct. It was very fast, but I can see it very clearly. It's
yeah.
So
no problem. This one is,
so it was like, oh.
This one, Pocheng, you listen. This one is after you have come out. After you have come out and your stability of mindfulness has reached this level, that's why you can see all this. That's why later on you will come to know. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. Amidst life and existence. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Later on you will see, not only on the TV, everything, every phenomenon, everything that arises, the universal characteristics are there. Then you will understand very profound spiritual penetration of the three universal characteristics. You will insight into phenomena. Then you will see the phenomena, each and every one, at the moment of its arising, sustainment, and passing away. You keep on seeing until the understanding, the wisdom becomes so clear, the penetrative understanding. Then it applies to all phenomena. No more that specific phenomena. That's how the wisdom becomes very stable, the awakening. So you still have to move through life to see all this, to witness all this, to awaken to all this. Yeah. And it will happen. But in future, when you go into that cessation, you don't be too fast to come out. You should come out slowly. Where when you are able to allow it to be, you don't come back to normal consciousness so fast. Because when you have gone into that cessation, normally when you come out, it takes a while before you return to normal consciousness. In fact, Alicia experienced some of this, because the mind becomes so still, silent that it sees. Then when it comes out, it's like slowly learning how to become conscious again, how to become a human being again. That's why I told you from the retreat, after I went to that cessation in 1989, I was on the bus coming home. Then because my mind was so still, so tranquil after that cessation, I saw the sense data coming in. Where I was sitting in front of the bus, then I knew this thing is going to come in, and the old way of sankhara activity and movement is going to start. Then I start to see how the dependent origination, like the Buddha taught, avijja paccaya sankhara. No avijja, no sankhara. No habitual tendency, no sankhara. No memory, no conditioning, no sankhara. All these things you start to see. That upon contact, what happened? You can be at the moment, at the moment. And everything like slow down for you to see. Then it starts to return to normalcy. Then I knew I will come back to normal again. And that's like all this the cultivator will go through. Then sometimes it will stay with you for a few days. Then sometimes it may be for a week or two, depends. But all this is for you to understand. Don't be excited over it, because experience is experience. It's the wisdom that free, the understanding that free. If you attach to all this state and expect all this to repeat, then it can come back to the back door to actually deceive you again. But once you've gone through the cessation, you will have the basic sainthood understanding already. Then a lot of things cannot deceive you anymore. Then you are like very different. Then you can understand Dhamma very fast. A lot of things that I share become very easy to comprehend. Then the notes, the sharing, the transcript or whatever, it become like very easy to comprehend. Even the Mahayana Sutta or wherever there is truth, you will understand. Then technically, like I told Brother Song, you don't really need teacher in that sense, because the learning can happen by itself through your stability or awareness and what you have gone through. But if you want to speed up your cultivation and develop the clear understanding, then of course it is preferable you can have somebody who has gone through the whole thing to guide you, then you can progress. Otherwise, you will be like, how I should put it here, you will be like, I would say the word trap. You will be like, without you knowing that all these things has actually transformed you and changed you. But nobody can use word to describe it. That's why you don't know what this thing is. Until later on, when all this stabilized, then when you understand, like my nature did, I have to find my own words. I have to use my own words. Well, these are things that is not known to the world. The transformation, the changes. Well, this awareness-based meditation thing is very rare, very difficult to come by. Hardly anybody talk about it, share about it, not to say book write about it, none. That's why I have to use a lot of my own understanding and new words, like specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without a center, and all those things to describe. But for cultivator, the moment they hear my sharing, if they have gone through, they will know, they will understand, and they will become like full of joy. Okay, what's it? Anything else? We are getting late already.
Yeah, sadhu. Thank you, Brother Thiong.
Thank you.